My guest is an attorney out of Illinois, suburbs of Chicago, Barbara Anderson. I met her and she was first on the air with me May 2017, then August 2017, then May 2018, and now we're back in the last quarter of 2018 to get an update on her lawsuit against Zillow. And I'm fascinated with this because Zillow is not my favorite website. The Zestimate, which is an educated guess on value, is either so high or so low, it's like throwing darts. And some cities, it is radically off. And yet, little fine print that says, well, you know, this might not be accurate, that's okay. But tell that to people who hold up the Zillow estimate and try to think it's Moses carrying down the Ten Commandments. So welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Barbara Anderson.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I'm so fascinated with the story, and it's personal because I'm not a big fan, and obviously neither are you. Before you tell us today, you were in the 7th Appellate Court in Chicago, and before you tell us what happened, give us a quick thumbnail recap of what brought you today to the appellate court.
Well, as you and I began the story, and you were right there at the beginning, I was having difficulty years ago selling my house, and I finally just threw up my hands in the air and walked initially to the state court to file suit. And my assumption back in the day was, you know, hey, I'm not getting through to customer service, but I'll get an apology. You know, sorry, Ms. Anderson, we goofed on the value of your home. We'll take it down. You know, it was really a simple perception I had at the time. And then it hit the media, and then I realized the you know, import from Zillow's perspective of their Zestimate tool, and it was really a money generator for them. And then I realized, holy Toledo, what did I get myself into?
So all you wanted at the beginning was you disagreed with their Zestimate that's online, and you approached them and said, look, here's some comps. Here's what I think it should be. I think you're inaccurate. And you found out there's no mechanism or pathway to make that happen.
Right. So basically, everybody's payoff is going to be the same, which is you're going to go to customer service. You're going to say, hey, you know, what comps are you using? Why are you using this? Why are you confident to give any value on my home? And you're going to get a very vanilla form email response. You'll never get anybody on the phone. And you'll get this very vanilla response saying, this is just an estimate, and you'll go nowhere. And then you're stuck with this ridiculous number on your home, trying to sell it, and you might as well be chasing windmills because you're not going to go anywhere.
So they had no paradigm to explain to you, and then it led you to attack them because you felt that they were practicing being an appraiser without being a licensed appraiser.
Right. And the irony is, in the course of litigation for the last couple of years, is basically they have admitted that what they're doing is an appraisal under the Illinois Appraisal Act, but they are using loopholes to get themselves out of it.
And so, is the loopholes the fine print where they kind of claim it's not an appraisal?
No, they're using two legal arguments, and that was what was discussed in part today. They're using the legal argument that because the Illinois statute is a criminal statute, we as homeowners don't have standing, and you and I discussed this before, how we don't have standing to bring it, and that the only person or entity that has standing is the Attorney General. Well, the problem is I went to the Attorney General, and I went to the Illinois Department of Professional Regulation, and, you know, sure enough, they didn't do anything. So that's why we've eventually filed the suit.
Can you name the Attorney General of, can you give his name?
Lisa Madigan.
Oh, is that her? I was trying to remember.
Yeah.
I'm watching Making a Murderer, and then they went to the appellate court. But I guess that would be Minnesota, the Attorney General they're dealing with. Okay.
They could have taken action. They didn't. So we had to file the suit. And so they're jumping on the fact that we're not the Attorney General and that we don't have standing to enforce the criminal statute. And we said, look, if nobody's doing anything, they're tying up our property. And so that was one of the discussions today. And the other discussion was we have an exception in our statute that says, and I don't have it in front of me, but it's basically a lending institutions can use automated valuation methodologies. And then the statute says, comma, and then something about automated valuation. It starts out about lending institutions. It's like a subparagraph of the exceptions, and it starts out about lending institutions, and then it says, comma, including AVMs. Well, I said to the appellate court, they're talking about lending institutions using AVMs for their internal underwriting.
And AVM is automated
valuation methodology. So, and I said to the court, wait a second, that's about lending institutions. And the trial court said, oh, no, everybody can use them. And I said, look, what you guys are doing is doesn't make any sense. Why can an appraiser not use an AVM, but yet a non-licensed person can? It makes no sense.
And so this was the second exception. These are the two legal points you tried to make. One was that it had to do with it had to be a criminal case and a seller has no standing. That's where only the attorney
right.
general. And the second one is this automated valuation methodology. So getting back to the...
And then I basically said that even if you found we didn't have standing under this act, that under our civil acts, the Deceptive Trade Practice Act and or the Consumer Fraud Act, that we would have standing under those acts, and if it's unlawful under the Real Estate Appraisal Act, why is it not an unfair and deceptive practice under these other alternative legal theories?
Sounds capricious. Sounds capricious.
Right, right.
Now so, just to get anyway. Back, so these two legal arguments, I can't wait until the Attorney General, what'd you say her name was, Lisa what?
Madigan, yeah.
Madigan. What happens when she goes to sell her house? And if she finds the Zestimate is too low, can she then, as the Attorney General, make this happen?
Sure, she could do it at any time. I mean, basically, I'm sitting here making these arguments that I shouldn't have to be making. You know, I shouldn't be here, listening to all the homeowners across the country or in across Illinois say, hey, you're right, Barb, and then, get brick wall after brick wall. The Attorney General wouldn't get this brick wall. They could stop the practice. They could stop and protect the Illinois homeowners, and they choose to do nothing. And that includes every attorney general across the country. Basically the theme of this case and maybe, news media like yours will say, hey, you know what? People need to be ticked off and they need to go to their politicians and say, get off your duff.
I remember my guest is Barbara Anderson. She's an attorney out of Illinois, the suburbs of Chicago. And back in first time you were on in May. So when did you initially file the suit?
Came right away. I think that was May of 2017
okay.
when I was first the plaintiff, and then what happened was Ken Harney picked up the story, and then the news media, the television news media also then picked it up, and then it went national, and then people said, hey, why don't you represent more than just yourself? And so I dismissed my own case and brought it with the potential of it being larger for other people,
like a class action.
Yeah, potentially.
Potentially. So I remember asking you, and of course we're going to hear, mm-hmm. Barbara was in the 7th Appellate Court today in Chicago, Illinois, and we're going to hear what happened, but I want to make sure we lead up to it properly so we know what choice they had to make today. But quickly, I had mentioned to you the National Association of Realtors, and did you ever reach out to them, and did you?
No, I didn't. I had too much on my plate already, and I didn't really... People had mentioned, people should be amicus. But you know what? I've run into so many people who have called me over the course of the case to say, hey, so-and-so should help you. I can't chase all these people around,
Well, I'm going to... This afternoon, I'm going to... I'm going to find out, because it seems to me, an amicus, that's a friend of the court, so they're not really representing you. They're just coming in to assist indirectly. Is that what amicus means?
Well, that would be too late for my case, but that's not to say that you guys couldn't take up a similar case
California. So now you've telegraphed that it's too late for your case, so that means we didn't get good news today.
That's correct. I don't think it's going to be successful today.
So just before you give us the bell ringer about what exactly happened, so you walk in today to the 7th Appellate Court because you kept getting shot down with your arguments. So you kept taking it to the next level. Now, is this 7th?
Yeah, we did two complaints below. We amended we got dismissed without prejudice with leave to amend. We added more allegations. that we were hopeful would sustain the complaint. Then the court came back and said, no, I'm going to dismiss it again, and this time with prejudice, meaning that we're out of her courtroom. And so the next place you go then is to the appellate court. So we took it there.
Oh, that's always, yeah, I always get confused with that. And so again, Barbara Anderson, attorney, is taking on Zillow and trying to get them. She initially just, all I had to do was say, oh, you know what, those are comps. But I guess if they agreed to do that, then uh-huh. everybody would be calling them and saying, you know what, you got me down at, you know, 800,000. It really should be 850. And then it
well,
gets
the irony
so,
is, yeah.
Yeah,
gets, the irony is they would be right. And the irony is Zillow in their briefs basically says, I mean, I couldn't believe it. You know, they're arguing in their briefs, well, we're just like fortune tellers. Honestly, they cited to a case about equating what they do to the practice of fortune telling. I would have thought everybody would have said, oh my gosh, you're sticking fortune telling on people's property. Get lost. Leave these people alone. Nope. Nope.
So what happened today?
So I go in and I argue, and of course you're going to get, examined and you know, you never know what you're going to have to argue and get beat up on. And so that's to be expected. But basically it was this whole argument about standing. And I said, look, you know, exactly what I just told you. Look, number one, I don't think we have to have standing under these two other civil statutes. So why are we having this discussion? It's form over substance. And two, I do believe that I argued it. So anyway, I got beat up over that. And I, you know, basically appealed to them and said, look, nobody's helping us. I think you should. And I think you should look at it from a real estate perspective. The problem was Zillow went next. And I sat down and I thought, okay, now it's their turn to get beat up and answer the questions that I raised. You know, like, hey, why are they getting away with this? And why are they telling the media that they're, you know, reliable and that they have a low error rate when really they have no basis to make such representations to the public? They're not licensed. They're not trained. We have no idea what's in their algorithm. And, you know, they're not competent under real estate appraisal standards to do what they're doing.
Thank
so
you.
So why isn't... Like, why isn't that in itself deceptive, was my question. So after I had said that, I had expected the panel to ask Zillow these questions. And basically, he gave 5 minutes of argument and was basically said, you know, the panel said to him, you know, you don't have to use your whole 20.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think that's a pretty good indicator that we're going to lose on this. The standing argument.
And you're and again, guest is Barbara Anderson, attorney out of Illinois, and she was before mm-hmm. the 7th Appellate Court this morning. And there's how many judges?
Three
judges. And is there three judges total on the appellate court?
No, this is a panel. You get a panel of three judges who come and hear your case. And then you don't know who your panel is going to be until they walk in that morning.
So the vote went against you. Was it 3-0 or 2-1?
Well, we don't know. They take it under advisement. But you know, when they told me, Ms. Anderson, you have 12 seconds left to convince us to do something, I said, you know, I think it's the writing's on the wall. What your opinion is. But I'd ask you to look at this from a real estate perspective, and if you don't, I think that's disappointing. And that's how I ended it.
So
I hope that they go back, and I hope that they consider that, you know, they're letting Zillow, if they rule against me, that they're letting Zillow get away with it on a technicality.
So you have not received a definitive word one way or another. You just have an inkling that it's not going your way.
Yeah. So.
And what's interesting, because I'm watching Making a Murderer, which takes place, I think, out of Minnesota, but they end up going to the 7th District Court, which I guess is criminal, versus where you went today. Or maybe they went to the appellate court. I don't know. But I know there were 9 judges, and they picked 3 to hear the case. And in this one, and they ruled in favor, okay, of the defendant, but then the state who is the, I'm sorry, they ruled in favor of the plaintiff, and the state of Minnesota, who's a defendant, is now appealing it to go to all 9 judges, not just the 3. Do you have that option?
No. The next place we would have to go to is to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, first of all, I'm not going to take it there. You know, I've done a lot of work, and I'm ready for Zillow to go behind me if the court goes against me. Because it's a lot. I mean, and plus the Supreme Court doesn't have to even take your case.
They don't have to take the case. So this is interesting. Maybe it's different in criminal versus civil, because in this case that was criminal, the 2-1 verdict was ruled, and the people that lost are now appealing to go to all 9 judges on this court in Chicago.
Yeah.
And whether it's district court or appellate court, I don't know, but I was on watching this.
I'd have to see it. Yeah, maybe next time you and I talk, I'll take a look at the show.
Yeah, and there's an attorney who took this guy's case, who is a bulldog. I can't remember her name, but it's very interesting to watch the legal maneuvers. I'm just so fascinated with it. I'm 62 years old. It's too late for me. But you know what? If I win the lotto, I'm going to law school. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, I don't know. It's so tiring. I'm so tired today. I'm going to go have a nice glass of wine later on and watch something really mindless.
Well, I know it's 3 hours away. Yeah, turn on Making a Murderer. That'll cheer you up.
They're
battling courts, and a guy was sent to prison and claiming he didn't commit it. So, God, it's just disappointing. I think in watching this Making a Murderer, and I'm sure you're a fine attorney, but watching other attorneys that have detectives and investigators and labs and infinite amount of money, that, you know, that's how you win. You have an attorney that, you know, and they just, I don't know if the best attorney in the world could have won your case, because Zillow is pretty powerful.
I don't know. I mean, somebody's welcome to across the country to step up and approve my arguments if they think, you know, but you know, all I can say is I tried my best, and I don't think it's correct if I do lose. But, you know, somebody's welcome to give it a try in another jurisdiction and use your own state statutes to give it a try. And you can use our case as a springboard to see the arguments
and
go from there. I mean, because, you know, your statutes in California are different from our statutes. Just because we lose here in Illinois doesn't mean your statute's not drafted differently.
Well, so maybe the California Association of Realtors would be someone to take a look at. As a fact, I think I did email, but it was too late for them to become amicus for your case. And now what would be real funny is if you text me later and say, oh, I won.
Oh, yeah. I think I'll fall over, have a heart attack if that happens.
There's no chance, yeah.
Based on today. Yeah. Well, I just, you know, when somebody says to Zillow, you don't have to argue your full 20 minutes, I think that's a pretty good indicator. Which is disappointing, but, you know.
All right. Well, please.
Such is life. But, you know, I think I'd like to convey is that, you know, people should be outraged. And today, if they went on a technicality in this case, I'm outraged. And I think people should be outraged. And that just means the media should be asking the attorney generals across the country, why is there a problem and why aren't you doing anything?
You know, what happened with this guy, Stephen Avery, was convicted of attempting to molest a woman on a beach. And he was kind of a auto salvage guy, and she was an upstanding member of the community, and ended up identifying him as the culprit, and he spent a lot of years in prison. And they eventually found the real guy who went on to molest and rape other people. And so he was kind of railroaded. And I had a point to bringing that up. You were saying...
How time maybe flips the situation, perhaps?
You were saying about people's other states and the California Association of Realtors. I lost it. It was something to do with your case, but we will see.
What I think is going to happen, I think even if we lose this case, there's no way the issue is not going to die. The issue is these people have no competency to do what they're doing. They have no permission, and it's very harmful to the consumer public. And there's no way the issue is going to die. It's just a matter of who's going to bring up the issue next. And the issue should go straight to the AG. And what will happen is the AG will bring it, and all of a sudden people are going to say, oh, isn't this the same thing that Barb said 2 years ago or a year ago or 6 months ago?
All right.
And that's my prediction of what's going to happen.
Okay, I remembered what I was going to say. But first, Barbara Anderson, attorney out of Illinois, not hopeful of the Seventh Appellate Court before three judges just this morning, and we'll get an update when they give you your answer. And you, I know you've sent me a lot of different stuff, email, but if you could send me something that I would send to attorneys at the California Association of Realtors to see if they have an interest in picking this up. And the, and I remembered what I was going to say before.
Yeah.
This guy, Stephen Avery, he ended up, Netflix ended up making a series called Making a Murderer. And it ended up attracting this huge attorney who's taken up his second case because he was then convicted of murder after he spent 18 years or something in prison for something he didn't do. He's back in prison where he's contesting he's innocent on this murder. So call, get in touch with Netflix and tell them you have a good storyline and ask them if they want to do a documentary on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it really does. I mean, the media really could help put the pressure on the attorney general, too.
That,
because there's no reason I should have had to ever take this case on. And it's really, to me, a question of why can't we get the attorney generals across the country to take on this issue?
All right, you send me stuff for CAR, and you contact Netflix. That's what we'll do. Barbara Anderson, that's the media.
I'm a movie star next.
That's the media. Then Netflix does it. It turned it all around. Barbara Anderson, attorney out of Illinois. We're going to wait and see what happened this morning. She's not helpful with the 7th Appellate Court in Chicago. We'll see what happens. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks very much, Mark. You have a lovely day.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Now, it's, of course, 3 hours later there, so she'll be able to go to happy hour before we can. Mark Schneibman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. I've actually lost quite a few pounds. I've dialed back on happy hour, which then means happy hour food and empty calories. So I'm getting back in shape, and we might be able to do the program nude like we used to. Okay, coming back, we're going to talk about some cleanup changes to real estate laws, and that's the title of a piece by Bob Hunt. He's a California Association of Realtors director, author of the book Ethics at Work of Real Estate, The Ethical Way. And it's hot off the press. It's this week's column. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.